Last time on Crown of the Kobold King, Scarab woke up to a surprise visit from Bloodeye, the leader of the Red Rocks. He warned Scarab not to interfere with the Creeds. Later, the party met with the sheriff and started making plans to overthrow the Creeds. The group decided to speak to Bloodeye at his establishment, but first they gambled and came out on top. After the merriment, Bloodeye summoned Scarab to his office. Our story continues now!
Bloodeye steps in front of you, Scarab, puts a hand on the brass doorknob and gives it a slow turn, and as the door squeaks open and he leans inward, he flashes you a dangerous smile and gestures softly for you to enter.
After you.
It is a rather, not small, but compact office that has a very tasteful decor. The floor is red velvet. The desk is a dark oak polished to a sheen that seems to refract the torchlight in the room. Several hanging sconces made of a shimmering, almost golden-looking brass dance light across the room. And above the desk is a rather grandiose chandelier, far too large for the space. It barely fits in the office, and it takes up much of the ceiling space. The walls themselves are made of a similar dark oak polished to a fine sheen, and between the pillars are several bookshelves laden with a number of medical texts and references. The desk itself spots a green felt lining on its top, much like a card table of those below. And after you enter, he shuts the door behind him before walking over to his desk, in front of which are two rather large and comfy-looking leather chairs. Behind the desk is a swiveling chair made of the same polished oak.
Okay.
He stops at a small cart near one of the bookshelves with a large decanter full of a shimmering brown liquid.
May I offer you a drink? Please, take a seat.
Yes, please. Whatever you got. I like them spicy. I can take it.
He pours two small tumblers of this deep amber liquid before walking over to the side of his desk, placing one down in front of you. Do you take a seat?
Yes.
Okay. He places one in front of you, and he sits on the edge of his desk, crossing one leg over the other. You get the sense that this is a posturing, an obvious power play.
Yeah.
Take me!
This guy. This man.
He takes a sip of his drink and just kind of stares at you. And even though you can hear like the dull throng of what's going on the floor below, much of the sound is muted, and so the two of you are sitting here in silence, only punctuated by the soft whistling coming from his brass nose.
So what is it? Do you bring me here to kill me? Or because you don't want your workers to hear what you have to say?
Please, Scarab, right?
Yes! Shabunga Krasoa Bafomdad,
yes.
The first, yes.
The very same. No, Scarab. I shed no blood in this room. I'm a man of business.
Thank goodness.
There are other rooms for that.
Scarab looks around for any doorways. Any extra doorways.
You only see the one behind you.
Good, good.
No, no. You're here because I get the feeling that the message wasn't clear. So allow me to elucidate. Why are you here?
Good. Thank you for asking. Because I wish for no problems. But I've noticed one. Granted, things probably would have been fine had I not been taken personally. You know, were you there when I was stripped from my own bed?
I had a good view from the window.
He gestures behind you, and you can see a large set of almost like French double doors that open up to a balcony.
Damn.
Outside.
And look, man, I have no fears. If I die, I die. But between the two of us, I don't think that's what's meant for me. No. There's more that I must do. But I do see a town in which I frequent, or at least I was trying to. A town in distress. And though they pay you, maybe first, by what I've gathered, you and I both know it's not sustainable. They're gonna suck this place dry, and then what's left for you? I wish to make this town and its consortium, of which I disagree with. Because to a lumber town, if you cut every damn tree, what is the point? That's a different story. I think you should plant some more trees in their place, but that's something else.
The Scarab scratches at the back of his neck and he pulls down on his sleeve.
Roll me a persuasion.
Scarab turned into a hippie. Growing trees on him.
Let's see here.
I respect that.
Ooh.
I'm not here.
17. Not a big one. You can see he starts to get agitated at the end of that. Almost like he's saying some stuff that he doesn't truly believe in.
Yeah, something that just kind of came out of left field for him.
Yeah, yeah. And though he may not believe it, maybe some of these things might fall true. Like, damn, what do you do without trees?
Come on, orc! You're dumb!
Yeah.
Kidding, you probably have a high intelligence, higher than me. I'm small, little brain.
Sets his glass down with a small tap on his desk before he slides off the corner, hands behind his back, and he kind of walks around his desk back to the other side before pulling out his chair and sitting down.
All transactions have a cost, a price, if you will. And let's be blunt. Yes, I am in the pocket of the Lumber Consortium. When the trees are gone, I imagine the town will dissipate and they will do as I have done. Seek their fortunes elsewhere, for there will always be more trees, more coin, and more blood split between hands.
Have you been here?
What are your plans? And where do you see me fitting in them?
Look, bro. 100%. You weren't even on my radar. Far as I see it, this place is outskirts. It's outside the wall. Much like that manor. You and I both know that the people inside these walls aren't being treated as fairly. I want a place where I can sell. And not be picked up. Because some other kobold comes in. It's falling apart, man. And those people that pay you. Have you met them face to face? You don't need to tell me this or that, but I'm here with you face to face. Have you ever met them face to face?
No. My dealings with the consortium are circumstantial. Let's say they have a problem. I make the problem disappear. And then my pockets grow fat as a result.
And they make their money from the consortium as well? Or a different pool?
From the lumber, of course. We are a resource to them. Just a well waiting to go dry.
Look, man, to be 100%, to be so honest with you right now.
You gonna keep it a buck 50?
100. No cap! I was talking shit about you earlier. Talking shit about your nose.
For real, for real?
FRFR, my friend.
Dang.
And it's because I'm worried. I'm worried about my ability to be here. And you come into my window at night. That's a different story, and I will put it in the past. At the end of the day, there's no reason you can't still get paid. My 100, outside of telling you that I was talking shit just recently about you and your nose with my friends. The other 100 is, there's no reason you shouldn't still get paid. There are people, undesirable, that come into this town. Those kobolds? Different than me. We need people like you to take care of that shit, so me and your own sheriff don't get put behind bars. Their focus for you is not for the town, it's for them. They could care less about you or the town.
Your words are honeyed, young kobold.
I've been drinking. You got good stuff here.
I'm surprised. Tell me, do you think that this town could match the payment of the Lumber Consortium?
We got some friends. Scarab's just drinking. He's drinking. I got some friends over at the Consortium. There's no reason we shouldn't work things out. I've got different ideas for this town. Not that I should have any power.
Do you have friends at the Consortium?
We have friends at the Lumber Camp.
With the Lumber Camp?
He's talking out his ass. I can roll in deception.
I know a guy. Totally. Yeah.
Looks good. 31.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah, I know a guy. Big, strong guy. He's awesome.
He gives pause. He seems to regard this for a moment.
And these undesirables, these kobolds, these ne'er-do-wells who wander into town, you say they would need disposing of?
Anyone who would cause disruption.
Anyone?
Look.
And you?
I take it from great. Well, maybe not great, but General Franzak of the Kobolds in the Hungry Mountains once said,
"You can do anything you want in life! Just don't be a fucking bitch!"
And I take those words seriously, and so did the men. And what these people do is they make it harder for everyone else. And I take that as being a bitch.
Roll persuasion.
It's a good song.
18.
He's swaying. Small man. Very small man.
Let's say that I believe you. Let's say you've swayed me to your cause. What do you need of me? What can I do for you to ensure this beautiful utopia you speak of?
Number one is the belief that it could be so. Who's to say that that mansion that is outside of these walls makes the call whether or not people here can live? Who's to say these people you haven't even seen? What I need from you is the belief that this town can keep working without some invisible name behind it. And perhaps some help if things get hairy. I want to get in there. I want to put a stop to this. And I need all the help I can get.
You are getting to the part where you talk about what you need from me.
I need an inn. We need those doors opened so we can see the people have yet to... So we can see the people who have yet to show their face to you.
I like you, Scarab. You've got some pluck to you. Let's say you remind me of a younger, more ambitious me. So you need a way in. Well, first things first. You'll find none of these faceless consortium thugs inside of Creed Manor. No, there you'll just find the last remnants of a long-lost family clinging to the last clutches of their pearls of power. They have no consequence on my coin, aside from the fact that they hold the sole deed to the woods surrounding here, i.e., the very rights the consortium has bought to work here. If someone else were to hold those rights, well, let's just say it would be no blood off of my beak. Someone else supplying the consortium with woods changes very little, aside from how that person chooses to treat the town. Now, if you seek beyond that to cut out the consortium itself, well, I'm afraid that's far bigger a plate than for you or me.
The power of this town should go to the consortium, and not the Creed family.
Interesting. You know, originally when I found myself on your windowsill, watching you squirm in your sleep, the original idea was to send a message, but the temptation... Oh, the temptation to just slit that little throat helplessly there. Well, that would have ended a lot of problems for the Lumber Consortium. You see, they abhor a vacuum in the face of a loss of power. But you are very interesting. If, and this is a big if, you can replace that power... If you could replace the Creeds with something else that ensures cooperation with the Consortium, well, then I don't see why we couldn't be friends, at least for now. Coin is not lost, but maybe to be gained.
And what better than a town with coin and people who aren't sick and poor? We move the money, it goes forward, and you have the greatest living experience anyone has had in Galarian. We do things differently. Screw their royalty, or whatever they have in their house. They don't deserve this.
All right, Scarab.
Thanks for your time.
You have a deal.
And he unfurls his green skin hand to you.
Scare puts a large kobold hand towards this man.
My red rocks, you may have seen them stationed along the walls, the snipers employed by Creed. They are ultimately under my command. When the time is right, if you should find a way inside, past the walls and past the guard, perhaps there will be a slight delay in that change of shift. Maybe then you can find another way inside.
And hear me. I wish for your men not to lose their lives, because this town will still need them. Is it understood?
He stands up from his chair, and with a devilish grin, he gestures you towards the door.
Oh, I understand. But fret not, young Scarab. Everything has a price. These men who took that job, well, they know. And if anyone doesn't get the memo, well, blood will pay just fine.
Thank you, Squeaky.
Scarab puts a finger gun throws a finger gun up at the man.
He pulls out an actual gun. No, I'm just kidding.
Put it down.
Alright, no. Anything else for you, or are you going to make your way out?
I wish to go enjoy more festivities. Thank you for your time and understanding. I'm nothing against you or your people. I just want a town I can sell in and have an honest night's sleep in. You understand?
Oh, if there's anything I understand.
And he stands up, facing out towards the windows overlooking the town square. laces his hands behind his back.
It's what a man with a need for coin needs most. Good luck, Scarab. I hope we do not meet again.
Best wishes for you and those tree cutters.
Have a nice day.
And Scarab walks out to meet the others.
Well, yeah, nice job, Matthew.
Yeah, ooh, man. Holy crap.
Ooh. Pat ourselves on the dick real quick. I'm going to give you a pee-pee for that, sir.
Thank you. Ooh.
Oh, that was a bad throw, but you still almost caught it. And then I've got two more to hand out. This is for last episode as well. Bonet, you get one for being real fucking lucky. That was nuts. Walking away with 20 plus gold on a 50-50 odds.
Wow.
And Emma, this one is for you for making the pretty lady behind the bar blush. That was fun.
Oh, thank you.
Then we got a bonus PP this up. We're starting off with two.
Wow.
Great role play going through. All right, moving on. As you move your way back through Scarab, anything you want to do on the way back to the others? Or are you just going to head straight back to the table?
Oh, what an interesting question.
Exactly.
I'm so curious about these doors on the opposite side. Is there anyone else around here?
It seems like at the moment there are still a few people around, but they're either busy, you know, applying makeup or changing clothes. They don't seem to be paying you any mind. But no, nobody directly around.
The Scarab throws up cloak and he just works here. He just walks through
and go walk to the door. All right.
Yeah, he's gonna throw his hood up and in a form of sneaking, try to just stay out of sight and
go ahead and roll me a stealth check.
Let's catch some vibes here. Oot, 21.
Okay. You don't feel any eyes on you. You get to the door and you go to push through them, and they are locked.
Damn.
And they are locked with a rather strange-looking keyhole. You think that it may be possible to pick it, but it would take time and someone of great skill.
What the heck, man? Why are you going to throw this at me? This is scary. Okay, he's going to look at it.
Take it or leave it, it's there. Cards on the table, friend.
Oh, dang! What?
All alone again. He can't wait to be all alone again.
I don't have any picking tools or anything, so he's going to shove on the door a little bit, make sure that it is, in fact, locked. He'll walk back to his homies. And if allowed, first thing he'll say when he sits down is,
there's a weird door up there with a strange lock. Also, here's all this. They're on our side.
You called him Squeaky?
And he didn't do shit. Understand? You gotta find out where people are with you.
That's all Rootmore got out of it. You made fun of him?
He didn't try to intimidate you.
No, it's kind of, it's in the way that like a friend would. I was trying to see if he was cool with me and as at the end of it all, it is what it is.
Oh, yes, I mean, mercenaries.
Because I'm not trying to run this town, no. But this dude, if he wants to get paid, he's going to have to put in the work as well. He might get more work after all this is said and done. But he's got a team, you know?
Oh, yes.
So I had to make fun of him to see if he was strong enough to have a whole team and, like, do it himself.
See if he wouldn't get upset at a silly joke.
He's fine.
Yeah, you wouldn't be offended at all if you were an amputee and somebody was making amputee jokes to your face.
Absolutely not, especially if the person saying it's really small. Yeah, how do you feel now?
You're talking about yourself, right, Scarab?
Of course, I'm like 3 feet tall.
Okay, good, because I'm medium-sized.
Totally,
I was about
100%.
To get very upset.
Yeah.
How could you do that, making fun of someone's appearance? I can't help that. That's very rude.
I made no mention about the amount of hair you have on your head, Rootmore.
Ah, there's no hair. Clean as a whistle.
Yeah, clean. So awesome. Perfect.
All about the beard.
Yeah, so what do you guys want to do now? You're at the table here, show's still going, having a good time, any more gambling, and you're heading out. Or you're heading out. And you're heading out. You're going to gamble, or are you going to gamble and leave?
I feel like we should travel out to The lumber camp.
Yeah, is that there? What you're feeling?
We have an ally, guaranteed. We just have to let him know.
Yeah, and go out and talk to Yarlbin.
Something yes. I was definitely thinking, especially after talking to him. If we go to Yarlbin, like, as far as... Let me put you where Scarab's at. Like, this town runs off of the lumber.
Yes. Correct.
He should have a huge say in it. And I know he's working for them as well.
Yeah. Order of power here, the way it always goes, right? You've got the people that actually produce the value, and then you have the people that, quote-unquote, assume the risk. And then they, like, even though they're the ones collecting the lumber, it's lumber owned by the Creeds, because the Creeds have the deed. And the consortium only profits because... the Creeds allow them to forest on their land. So, in effect, the loggers of the town are citizens of the town, but under the employee of the consortium, which means they are under two thumbs simultaneously.
Yeah. As well as the sheriff, I think we should get the sheriff and heads of the consortium with the sheriff.
Sounds good.
Because it's one thing to, like, try to set up a coup against this town's micro-government. But, like, what if we have the sheriff in the... they're there, too. I'm not saying we should give all power to the consortium and this man, but, like, I don't know. A council is better than some mansion.
Yeah. What are you thinking on this, Monet?
I mean, I think we should go to the Lumber Consortium. I think that's the next.
So the consortium itself does not have a...
I mean, not the consortium. The camp. I think we should go to the lumber camps.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the most logical next step.
And do either you or Monet have any feelings on, like, the general direction that this should go?
Yeah, just for full party transparency... Scarab, if not obvious, he did come down. He told you guys everything that was said, and that, like, I mean, makes sense. This guy's he and his people aren't necessarily going to storm the castle with us, but they have our back.
Scarab, that too. Sorry to interrupt, but is there anything you want to omit from that, or is it full? Scarab tells everything on the table, because we do have to separate player and character.
Yeah, I think he's fairly straightforward with it. He just wants people to have his back. Really?
And how do... So I guess then the question for you two is, how do you feel about Scarab agreeing to back the consortium in this case? In essence.
Yeah, Scarab literally just wants the Creeds. He doesn't think they deserve shit. That's, like, it. As a merchant, not necessarily good guy stuff, not necessarily bad guy stuff. It's just, like, there's no reason that they should be running this.
Yeah, change of power without creating a vacuum. Consortium still gets their lumber. They still make money, which means they don't give a shit what happens.
And it's not like these, it's not like the Bloodrock gang is, roughhousing people. They're doing it for the sake of the Creeds, and that sucks. Like, you should be protecting the town. You should be the army, if you ask me.
The consortium. Have we met anybody in the consortium?
Payday.
It was Payday.
Well, Payday. Payday works. So Payday heads the lumberyard, but he works for the Creeds.
Yeah.
He's the Creeds. He's the money man. If you owe money, he shows up and he collects.
He's not related. No blood.
He's not part of the consortium. He is strictly an employee of the Creeds. He ensures the Creeds make money by ensuring that those who are supposed to be making money for the consortium, and by extension, for the Creeds, are making money for the Creeds.
Are there any representatives of the consortium here?
Are
they in the room with us?
Not that you know of. There's no, like, consortium building. You imagine that there's probably somebody that confers with the Creeds periodically, collects payments, if they're not just straight up sent to them.
Right, they're bigger than all this.
Way bigger.
They're a huge thing.
There's, okay. So there, I believe, correct me in the comments if I'm wrong, but, like, there is a consortium for each of the trades that is essentially, like, a land-wide guild.
Do all roads lead to Absalom?
Absalom is, like, the main trade hub. That's, like, one of the big ones. There are others that are also big, but Absalom is, like, You know, the crown jewel, that's the big boy. And so it's like sometimes they will have representatives, or their overseers will be members of the consortium, or they will have political figures on a council that represent their interests. Think of like a corporate lobbyist.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, it's a faceless thing.
It's a corporate entity, baby. Yeah. Yeah, this is a guild that makes money, and they basically strong arm small logging operations into being a part of them, offering like benefits and protection, heavy air quotes, in order to guarantee that their trade is competitive and fair. I think in the grand scheme of the world, it is one of those necessary evil type things, a business that got too big.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably the best they can get right now, just cut out the middleman, which is Creed's.
That's the thing. That's the stupid argument that happens in these things. At the end of the day, if we have our way,
if things happen the way that I see them, the consortium may end up making a little less money. Why? Because the workers won't be dying under these conditions. They may make less money, but in the long run, it will continue. And they can do more. It won't be as much up front. But their people will live.
Something else you guys might have forgotten because it happened kind of early. You remember that Sheriff Baleson told you the reason he smashed Payday's face was because he bought the axe. And he had to buy the axe with log bucks, I think we talked about. I think I called them log bucks. Where it was a horrible transition from gold to that to buy it anyway. And then he bought it, and Payday tried to collect the axe tax on him. And these like log bucks or whatever are not consortium sanctioned. This is a Creed implementation to squeeze more money from people.
Exactly.
So that they can still pay the consortium, you know, whatever fees or whatever they need to do, while still collecting a tidy sum from people who are already being squeezed by the consortium.
I'm still waiting for somebody to tell Monet that all of her extra winnings only go towards drinks and plushies.
Yeah, they're
at the establishment.
You have to cash those gold coins out into tickets that are only redeemable today.
Yeah, Jacques, remember, bought
like a bag of... You have 420 beers today.
God damn.
Jacques bought a bag of pebbles from Payday with that money, I think.
I think I remember that too, a bag of rocks. I don't know if he bought it from Payday or Payday just happened. I don't remember if he was the one running the store or if he was just in the store.
I don't remember anybody else in the store.
What, was that not Big Boy at the lumber shop? Because that wasn't Payday.
That was Payday.
Payday was... I think Payday was there.
Yeah.
Was he running?
I really don't remember.
It's been a while, man. It's crazy.
Well, that was like episode one or two. That was real early because you guys hadn't even left town yet.
That was about episode five or six.
Okay.
Yeah, when we were just... You guys were still just running around town at that point? Hadn't left yet?
No, we left early.
Mm. Yeah, we left and came back real quick, I think. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, so that might have been when you came back after the birds.
Yes.
It might have been that one when we were talking about Monet and Rumore being introduced. I don't remember. It was real early either way. At least 20-something episodes ago.
We went out. We saw the wolves. Big Wolf was like, hey. And then we left. We came back to town. We were like, maybe we should talk to people in town.
Yeah.
Okay, so it was before the bird change. But that's right, because Jacques was the one who bought the pebbles. So it was before the character swap.
Big ups to the birds.
Super early on.
You call it character swap. I call it character death.
Potato, potato.
I call it the
potato, tomato. It's all the same.
Yeah, you say tomato, I say tomato.
To the lumber camp?
Yeah.
It's about, at this point, we'll say it is early afternoon. You're talking like 1, 2 o'clock. Still pretty early. Spend a good amount of time gambling and hanging out at this place. That's something else to think about, too. You caught the casino in the midday. Had pretty good shows, good action. There were a decent number of people here. You can't help but wonder what this place has to be like at night, like when it's really thumping, especially end of the week when consortium is paying out, it's payday for everybody. You imagine this place is pretty happening. Maybe.
We came here during the senior discounts.
Maybe there will even be more games later on during the week. If you come back.
Oh, wonderful.
Homework for Cody. Anyway, what the fuck are y'all doing? Get it together. What are you doing?
Lumber.
Yes, the lumber camp.
Straight there or picking up Sheriff on the way?
I would like to bring the Sheriff.
Yeah, fuck it.
Sorry, Cody. Not sorry. I just want...
If I didn't want you to, I wouldn't have brought it up.
I want the town to be fucking connected in this.
Yeah.
And if they're not, then maybe we're doing the wrong thing. But then it does not seem like that's the case.
Okay, so you pop by the sheriff's office, and I guess you're going to just tell him everything that happened?
Hey, man. Yeah. So, this bot militia that's not of the town, but is of the town, they're cool with this. We want to make things move, get that power out of the mansion's hands, and into the town.
And the sheriff is going to put a calloused hand on your shoulder and say... Scarab, look, I trust you. I owe you my life in no small part. But trusting a man like Bloodeye, now, you should be careful. He's a man whose only two modes of pressure are pleasure through torture and through coin.
Trust me, I understand this. Two things you should know.
I also like torture.
Number one, if he's getting paid, all things are good. And I think at the end of the day, pay really just equates to being able to live and not be in fear of that living. So if he's allowed to live and his people work and protect the town, protection. Yeah. And number two, if things go south, I can leave. I'm doing this for you, but 50% chance I can just go. Do you believe in this? Because that's what I'm here for.
I believe in these people, and I'm choosing to believe in you, and I mean that.
Heck yeah!
I just hope. I hope we don't do something that we can't undo.
What are the creeds, witches?
That's good.
So what now?
I giggle because there's a chance that they could be like 1,000 years old.
Oh, yeah.
I would have no idea.
Why, there hasn't been a witch in these parts in, well, over 30 years. Matter of fact, today's the anniversary. Sorry.
It's pretty,
in the paper.
Last time we saw the witch.
It's too good.
It's pretty obvious that they're all hags. It's pretty obvious. Nobody's seen them. Hags.
That's where I was going next, Sheriff. Have you ever met them? Have you seen them face to face?
Boy, they make appearances here and there.
Okay.
Mostly to flaunt their wealth or assert their power. Now, Thaldrin, he likes to make a prominent point that he owns each and every person in this town. Most of the times he stays hiding away, but he's well guarded even when he decides to venture out. No telling when that will be, though.
That's something that's very curious. Something I haven't thought about. For a town like this, sure, we have the high market. Prices get boosted a little bit.
Well, it's the only place you can buy food that isn't sort of rotting.
And it's in bulk. You have to have a membership. We all know this.
It's true. It's how they make their money. In all honesty, everything else is so cheap, they're basically loss leaders to sucker you in.
100%, they just want you to buy there.
It's a smart model. You should do something like that.
Hey, I gotta get a new cart.
That would help.
This mansion, these people, their wealth, they're not buying here, are they?
No.
They must go to other towns.
Most likely.
I'm not saying you should add this to your plans of when we should infiltrate or... You know, figure this whole mess out, but... God, these guys suck.
I do have a plan to get you in the gate. And even though I may not agree with your choice of allies, if Bloodeye can remove the snipers from their nests, that will make getting in just that much easier. At the very least, your old friend Corrin Javs has agreed. You're to hide in a cart... As a meat delivery. If you're able to hide in, you can at least get past the main gate. Suppose a few palms are greased extra well, then you'll probably make it as far as the back door. And now, at the very least, there's no worries of you being shot as soon as you get out.
Of course.
Next, we'll just need to find a way to actually get you in undetected.
As far as that goes, I've seen a few horses. What usually brings carts these way?
Normally, depending on how much they order, assuming it's a bulk order, that would be a cart drawn by maybe a small nag or a donkey, mule maybe.
Hopefully a large-sized boar won't cause too much problems.
It would be strange, but not completely out of the question.
Good.
Knowing who you are, you may even be able to drive the caravan in yourself, if you could procure your own cart.
I think I've been pretty loud about how much I dislike these people.
You're right, it was a terrible idea, I've been thinking.
Could be, but I think our friend Monet, she's got pretty good luck.
Huh?
People seem to like her. She could drive it in.
I only have one hand.
It's kind of funny.
I've never driven a cart.
It's just an idea. Saviors of the town and all. But I don't think they want to see me. I've been too vocal about this.
I'll see. Especially if you've had a would-be assassin at your window and now bedfellows.
We're friends. Who knows? Maybe I'll make friends with the Greens and they can just go away. I'll make them go away by talking to them. I've had a lot to drink.
I can tell if that's your line of thought.
We should go to the consortium and someone else should talk to the people.
The lumber camps?
Scarab's walking towards the consortium.
No, Scarab, this way.
Stop him, he's heading to Absalom.
Get me quickly, I've had too much to drink.
After you, my wobbly scaled friend.
Alrighty, so you guys make yourselves scarce here and known at the lumber camps. Saved it.
That was
nice.
A good save, dude. I was going to say that was an awesome save.
Maybe since we're right in town.
He dove in and threw that ball to the next guy.
I'm sorry, what were you saying, Bob?
Maybe since we're already in town, we should go talk to Kirthana at the Temple of Iomide to see if she'll be possible.
Yeah, was there
hell
any,
yeah.
There are other people in town, too. You could see, I don't know how you intend to...
There is
a
tower.
Where?
To the bottom.
There was
right.
A great tower alone by the sea.
Stavros.
Have we not been there?
Stavros Tower, we haven't been to.
Charvaros. Charvaros.
Let's go to Charvaros.
Love
Stavros.
You, Stavros.
Charvaros.
Love for you to have us on your podcast, Stavros. How stupid. How stupid if Stavros Palkias had us on his podcast. We wouldn't last.
I still have no idea who that is.
He's Greek. He's Greek, glasses.
Oh, he's the comedian. Yeah, yeah.
Funny.
Okay, okay.
Very, very,
very
funny.
Very funny.
He is a very funny man. I'd love to talk to him. TBH.
All right. Now
but yes, good idea, Fee. I'm so glad you brought that up because I wanted that to happen. It's just, it wasn't going to happen with Scarab. So yes, 1000% down to talk to other people who on this map of this town.
Who are here also.
Have a letter number location. That's all I'm talking about. They could be good.
Where?
It could be helpful.
There it is. Okay. Yeah, I guess, Scarab, you would be... Well, you and the sheriff are the only ones who would know that the tower at the southern edge of town, this like tall, twisted blackstone tower, rather out of place and ominous compared to the rest of town, is home to Charvaros Vade.
Let me see a picture.
There is not one. Unless Paizo made a separate one, there's not one in the book.
Fee, let me work this for you. Do I know anything else about this Charvaros Vade? Does he show himself ever?
Ooh, there is a picture of Charvaros Vade. It's not flattering.
Damn. So I'm not in love with him.
Unlikely. Can you make
this
picture smaller?
You just care about how people look, or?
Yeah.
Typically. What do you think we're married? Oh, God, the magnet in this tray. Okay. He's not very good looking.
I don't know.
If he took a bath.
If he, you know, maybe didn't have his eyes open so wide and didn't curl his lip as he
kinda,
spoke.
That's kind of, and I'm taking no offense, Cody, but that's kind of how I see myself in the mirror.
I thought you were going to say that's how I see you, because you said take no offense.
No.
He's saying.
I see, and yeah, I get what you're saying now, but I thought you were like, yeah, no offense, Cody. But
my own,
I don't know.
I guess what I was saying was, I'm not saying this as offense to me, like, oh, that's what I look like, Cody. No.
I think that's
my own brain is like, I look like that.
You have a similar chin, you have a much nicer nose, and your forehead is nowhere near as long as this guy.
I feel like I have a long forehead, but
that's
thank you so
much. That's
one
of those things that you think that you have, but you have a normal forehead. This guy's got a 6 head. This guy, like, literally, this guy has, if I could count the wrinkles on the forehead, hold on. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 wrinkles going up his forehead. He has a 6 head.
I could find that. I could find 6.
And also his hair is just straight, slick back. Anybody who is listening, feel free to Google Charvaros Vade. And it's one of the first results in Google images. He's not hurt, like, he's not unfortunate looking. He just looks like a old man.
Do I know any... Does Scarab know anything about...
You know that he's an oddball in the town. He rarely makes himself known. If anything, he might go out to the market on occasion to buy things, usually by himself. And if he does, it's a very rare thing. Most often, he will...
Has he ever bought anything from Scarab?
No.
Okay.
No, he doesn't... He seemingly goes out for very specific things, mostly over to Jack and Apes to buy things from the Alchemist. Or... very rarely to buy provisions from the lower market. But he is very rarely seen around town, mostly keeps to his tower, a bit of a hermit, and the only weird thing you know about him is he does have a daughter who lives there with him, but she is almost never seen outside of the tower. She's been seen out of the tower a handful of times total, and almost never during the day.
Somebody make Scarab tell them about this tower.
There's even
Is that you?
There's a rumor that you guys, when you were gathering information yesterday, you probably would have picked up, not relevant to your thing, but you probably would have heard just from people around town. There's a rumor that his daughter is actually not even alive anymore, as she's most often seen gazing from one of the many tower windows, but she is ghostly pale and looking out over the town. So some people think that Chavros might have murdered his daughter and that he hides this fact.
Scarab says all of this to Monet as they're walking to the lumber yard, and Monet looks towards the tower. Scarab takes a moment and pauses and wonders if this might be of help to our entire town situation.
You also know that he is... a man who seems at least somewhat, I guess arcanically would not be a word, arcanely inclined. He seems to be some kind of individual of, he is odd in the way of mystique.
Mm-hmm.
So, people speculate, very few know, and the only people who have ever or could have ever been close to Charvaros would have been his daughter, who people never see.
Him? He's come to me once. Of course, I didn't have what he wanted. Usually, my shop carries weapons, or armor, or amulets. Special things I find when I'm cave diving. But him, I don't know what he does for the town.
Also, you're welcome to, if you want to spend some time gathering information on that, you're welcome to do that. Whether now or in the future, I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah, might as well, right?
Could be of help.
Spend like an hour or so gathering some rumors.
Sure. His daughter's a vampire.
Scarab's going to spend this time looking for his daughter.
Where is she?
Society. Let me find her.
Theodora.
I'm sorry, what'd you get?
Society.
For gather information, yes. I think you could also maybe make a case for diplomacy. I would take that if you can... Society be like if you're gathering little bits. Diplomacy if you want to try to schmooze with some people and see if you can coax them to give you some info.
Well, it's a 2 or a 12.
Okay.
Pretty bad.
I don't know that Monet has either of those things.
The bad roll just cometh.
I mean, better now than in the room with Blood Eye.
13.
13, okay.
Okay, so Society, nothing. Diplomacy, nothing.
Okay. You're not able to get a whole lot.
She does have underworld lore.
That has to do with criminology,
Monet just
right?
walks straight to the tower and is like, hey, who are you?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's what she would do. Yeah, underworld
then
lore.
I say you can do that. You could just, like, go hang out around the tower if it's interesting to you.
Is, yeah. like, yeah, like, criminal gang, whatever.
Yeah, you could have rolled that earlier on the Red Rock Guild.
Yeah, didn't think about it then.
That's okay. Right now you can't.
Okay, Moni's just gonna go to the tower. As they're walking towards the lumber camps and Scarab's just talking about what he's heard, and then.
So instead of heading north.
Yeah,
from
she
the
just,
sheriff's office, you're just gonna veer
she just
off
like
east.
Stops and then just turns as soon as she hears on arcanely inclined. She's like, ah, magic. This way. And she will go there. It's my turn to play the idiot, Emad.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
The two of you, when kind of asking around on the way there, aren't able to get much. You hear the same rumor that, like, his daughter, if she's even still alive. Some people think that she's dead and that her ghost haunts the tower. Other people say that Sharvaros slept with a corpse and produced, like, an undead, unholy child.
Yee.
Other people swear that the tower itself is, like, mostly plain, but it seems tall and spindly tower. It's warped from time. The stones have cracked and partially collapsed, so it tilts on an edge.
Tim Burton.
And the top of it, very Tim Burton-looking tower. And on the top of it, on the parapets, are stone gargoyles that seem to guard it menacingly. And one of the rumors you hear is that people swear the gargoyles change positions.
This man's normal.
All right,
as
Monet,
hell.
You're about to walk into a Dark Souls boss fight.
No, this guy's so normal. I can tell based on what everyone's saying. I don't believe a single thing they're saying.
Yeah, it's a building within the walls. It's fine.
Okay, Monet's going to walk up to the tower.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a door?
There is. Yeah, that's a short stone staircase. Just
there's a door 7 feet up.
No, it's short staircase, like 3-4 steps, leading up to a small round stone edifice that then has the large wood double doors. Very like Count Dracula looking tower.
That'd be so awesome.
Monet
you just carried around stairs with you.
Monet is going to step up, you know, kind of like jog up the steps, and then lift her hand, her fist, her stone fist to knock, and then be like, oh, and then lift her other hand that isn't made of stone or metal.
Mm-hmm.
That isn't made of metal, and gently knock.
Gently click her tongue against her teeth. Okay. You wait for a few moments, and nothing happens.
She'll use her other fist.
And then much louder, just yeah. Dong, 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 dong. And once again, nothing happens.
She's gonna take a step back and look up at the tower. Are there any windows?
Several on this tower. They're just kind of like the small arched windows. It would be difficult for somebody to get in and out of them. You would think you'd have to like turn sideways and like to shunt yourself out. But yeah, there are like a bunch of small windows circling around this tower as it goes up.
Are there any, like, what is the tower made of?
Old, worn, cracked stone. Parts of it are, it is largely a, like, very dark-looking stone. Just cracked and worn, lightly mossed over with lichen.
Are there, like handholds, or, like...
It's old and craggy. You might be able to try to climb.
Do you think a cat could climb it?
Ooh, with stone, that might be a little tricky, but, I mean, cats can climb a lot of stuff. A cat could try.
If it's worn shit, there might be handholds for a kitty.
I mean, even for a person, but you've only got one hand. Also, if you were... I'm not saying you would, but if you have the ability to wild shape, and wild shape, I think you still have the iron hand.
Yeah, but like...
I'm just throwing it out there. So don't turn into a small bird or anything, because you're not going anywhere.
Someone free
you're
this
not a druid. Shit. I'm just throwing.
I just want to know where you're coming from.
And then we find out that Monet actually is multiclassed as a druid.
I know. I get wild shit
the entire time.
Is there a ticket booth anywhere nearby?
I mean, you
a
also
a coin slot for the door, perhaps.
It's also. You could keep knocking.
Just.
I mean.
I think you should keep knocking.
Also, I mean, I'm not trying to weigh you in a direction. It's just there's multiple things you could do. Could be there's nobody home. So yes, you can climb up to this window and you can hop in. If there's nobody home, are you breaking and entering? Yes. in a town that has rules with a sheriff standing right behind you, yeah, that's kind of a crime.
We're all there, before. Right?
So
or did Monet just go off on her
just
own?
Just hypothetically, if Monet were to have some sort of ability that would let her turn into a cat, she would just have a human fist attached to her?
There would be a...
Or a metal cat paw.
The gauntlet will not change, is what I'm getting at. So if you change in some way, shape, or form, that gauntlet is on your thing.
But the gauntlet does shrink to the size of... So she just...
Correct.
She just so have a tiny little cat gauntlet. Tiny,
yeah, because... Yeah. Because otherwise, it's like. It'd otherwise, you can just be like, I'm going to turn into a fly. I'm out of the gauntlet now. And that's no, clever.
It'd be a fly gauntlet, which might weigh more. It would probably weigh more than the fly. Yeah.
It will, even though it will change size,
I think it's more dense.
I think magically, so we're defying physics, it does not change weight. So yeah,
can
I think it's a density
into a
thing.
Cat?
I mean, I can, but now I feel like it's a waste to even have that. If
maybe
like,
you should go to the healer.
You still have three
first.
Limbs.
Come on, let it shrink down into a cat paw.
Cat
gauntlet.
Well, yeah, Cody know? Said it would cat shrink down. Like, it would be a little cat gauntlet, okay. But it still weighs.
It's still going to be a closed fist on the end of that cat arm.
Yeah, but.
But it wouldn't weigh the amount it would weigh as a human being, though. Right?
Unless it became more dense.
I don't know.
You roll for it.
I have no idea.
Well, then can I change my thing? Because...
Is there a way in town that we can get rid of your fist?
It's my fey influence.
Can we get rid of your fist? Could you go into the doctor as a cat with a giant metal fist and be like...
It's not like this thing weighs a million pounds either. It's not... It's a gauntlet.
Was there a weight?
When you said skinny windows, I'm like, ooh. She can just turn into a little cat and slither on in there.
Totally.
She can
right.
turn into a cat.
And again...
If anything, it would go against your roll, right? Your climb roll?
Yeah, only a little bit. It's not. I'm not saying it's like you're going to turn into a cat and it's a lead weight holding you to the ground.
It's like a minus
one.
This
is a gauntlet.
Two.
You're not being... The only inhibition it gives you is not that it weighs more than a metaled glove. It's the fact that it's basically fused shut with your hand inside. So... It's going to weigh what a gauntlet does proportionally to a cat. To a cat, it'll probably be heavy, but not, like, debilitatingly heavy.
What if the cat is Lilith-sized?
Then yeah, it'd be a little hard for that little squeaker.
Shh, let her speak.
Lilith says that it's a goat.
Okay, so
it's
you
a good goat.
So you change into a cat, obviously, and those are the tiny noises you make.
He makes because she was planning on yelling up to the windows, but her brain was moving too fast, and she was like thinking, "I'll yell up to the windows and just say hello." But as she was thinking that, she was also like, "Oh, I can turn into a cat." So she turned into a cat, and she's like,
"In all fairness of separation from player and character, I have told you reasons that it might not be a good idea, but this being a Monet thing, I'm not going to stop you. I'm not stopping you. If you want to go for it,
this being a Monet thing, all of the possibilities should be known, but it should be allowed to just, like, screw it.
Does the cat have a climb speed?
Bro.
And or...
up until this very moment, I wasn't even sure if I'd be able to use my cat, so I don't know yet.
And, I guess I can and look or at it, do you have combat climber?
No.
Because if you get combat climber, you can climb with one hand.
Here's the thing. I figured I was going to like have to do a climb check. Mm-hmm. I didn't even think that I would make it up there because of... Like, I was thinking that she would still have metal cat paw. But then... the discussion of metal cat paw still weighing like a pound. I was like, well, fuck. There's no point in her even turning into a cat ever.
No, that's not true. I've seen You've seen cats haul away some heavies. I saw a cat steal a whole chicken from a grocery store on a video.
I used to watch Cat Paws like every day before school when I was a little kid.
A chicken easily weighs as much, if not more, than a cat. Like, and I've watched them walk away with a whole one. I've seen I've seen a cat steal a duck from a Chinese restaurant.
All my South Texas people know what the hell I'm talking about.
So,
Cat Paws. Tony with the spinny hat. He was my music teacher in real life, dog. Somebody knows what I'm talking about.
Somebody out there, but nobody at the table.
Yeah, nobody at the table.
Somebody knows Cat Paws. Cat Paws.
Quietly to himself.
It was like Zoom, but it was very localized. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. Hopefully my mother. I'm so sorry.
All right, what were you saying, Bub?
Yeah, Monet turns into a cat. She's going to try and climb the wall.
How do you guys react to that? Go ahead and roll me that climb check.
Witch!
You walk up to this tower, watch Monet knock daintily on the large doors, then bang heavily on the large doors, and then looking up at a window.
Turn into a cat and meow.
Turn into a cat, boop boop a couple times, and then jump up to climb the wall.
Monet! You're a cat! Why?
Very honest man. What'd you get on that check?
Sorry, I'm trying to... Yeah, once per day. You have cat-like features and can appear like a mundane cat in pest form. Cat only.
Okay, so it's a spell pest form.
A cat would have a +2 to strength, by the by. What'd you get on your normal check with your normal stats? And then I'll just base it off of that. With an adjustment for being a cat, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
You were looking for athletics.
Mm-hmm.
So it's athletics modifier -4.
Okay. Nice.
Where? On the cat thing?
Pest form.
Oh, pest form.
Yeah.
So oh, okay. Okay.
Nice
show,
Demon.
Well, thank you.
That would be...
I ended up at Cat Animal Companion.
I couldn't find cat. It was just like, lion!
And that had the pluses and minuses to base stats, but not
yeah,
the...
Yeah, I have cat and pest form up. 12.
12 total? That's with the -4 to your check plus your roll? Okay. 12.
Okay, you can dismiss the spell, because I didn't even look that up. I was just like, maybe I'm just a cat now.
Oh,
you know, just once per day, you will forever be a cat.
Well, once per day. I wasn't sure if it would just be like, for the rest of the day, I'm a cat.
Yeah, I got you. Why is there not a climb DC? Oh, you know what? It says requirements. You have 2 hands free.
Yeah.
Oh, but you're a cat right now. You have 3 free. So yeah, I'll say you make the climb. The two of you watch as your companion shapeshifts into a cat, leaping up onto the wall, sprawl-limbed, seems to struggle with the front paw for a moment before doing this awkward shimmying between the remaining 3 paws, and you climb up 10 feet to the first window, just off to the left of the front door. And you pull yourself up onto the ledge, and you are now looking down into the foyer of this tower.
Scarab, look at her tiny metal paw. This is crazy. Order!
She just meows down at you.
On the...
I'm not gonna stop her.
Interior of this building that I don't have a map for, so you're just gonna have to theater of the mind it. You can see from your perch to the right, you see the edge of the doors that you were just standing on the other side of. In front of that is a very long and thick red carpet that has been worn by dust and time. It has graded heavily. On the walls, you see several portraits, one of which depicts a... for you guys, it's a picture of Charvaros. There's a portrait of him, a large one on the wall, although you don't know what he looks like, so you just see a portrait of a man with greased back hair and
a bath.
Rather grim-looking expression on his face, very stern and serious. And you can see what looks to be a hall at the end of this. The room is, like, circular in nature. I'm sorry, I'm doing a terrible job of explaining this in order. It is a almost like a rotunda.
Mm-hmm.
And as you follow the easternmost wall past the doors, you see that portrait on the wall. You can also see several tapestries hanging from the wall. That continues along until there is a break as if it goes down a hallway. Then the remainder of the wall on the northwest part of the room has another portrait, this one of a rather young and pale-looking girl whose skin is almost snow-white and whose hair is a platinum blonde, long and straight. And she looks solemnly forward with her hands crossed. And then just beyond that, you can see on your left a staircase that seems to spiral upwards.
Hmm. Can she climb more on the outside to look in other windows?
If you'd like to try.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rootmore sees the kitty cat coming out of the window and he runs under it. Careful. Careful.
Holding your hands up, ready to
preparing to catch. Yeah. Yes. Because he sees the little paw just like twing, twing against the wall.
That's a 27.
Beautiful.
Oh, shit.
Yep. So you have to climb up and over a bit until you reach another window. Much less to see here. You are now following the circular staircase, and so you can just see into the stairwell. Not much to see here. You can see to your left goes up, to your right goes back down.
Is there more?
Yeah, you can keep going. You're 20 feet up right now.
Natural one.
Ooh, for a total of...
For a total of 9.
Okay. Not a crit fail. You leap from your spot on the window to grab onto the wall again, and your metal paw slips on the rock, and you feel like you begin to fall, but you catch yourself, and instead you just remain in place. Whoa. Hanging onto the wall. Rumor begins to sweat. He's slowly circling.
Only I'll catch you, but keep your claws inside.
Mona just like meows down, like flopping her little metal paw.
You're like a firefighter, and you're just circling around the bottom of this thing. Yeah. Oh, oh,
oh. Okay.
A little tramp.
Give me another if you want to go again.
Yep. 13.
Okay. You make your way, after finding your footing, all the way up to another window. And as you reach the edge of it, still a bit shaken by your near miss, you pull yourself up and you are greeted by a face.
Huh?
There is a small girl, no more than maybe 8 or 9, and her skin is ghostly pale, her lips a twinge of blue and pink, and her eyes are wide and blue as a clear lake. She has long, platinum blonde hair that falls on either side of her face, parted in the middle. And she seems surprised at first, but then immediately delighted.
Oh, hello, you! Was that you making all the noise on the wall?
Monet will meow. Just like she's trying to talk.
And she immediately just... like a kid, just starts, as a kid, starts petting you and touching you, and she just seems thrilled that you're here.
What happened to your paw, little one? Were you hurt?
Monet responds.
Her expression shifts from surprise and glee to more of a somber expression.
You shouldn't be here. Father doesn't like visitors.
She questions.
Are you hungry?
Her expression changes to joy again, and she scoops you up. She picks you up from your perch on the window. And she cradles you and
so
she
cute. Bye-bye.
Begins throwing you out the window. She begins to walk back down the staircase with you in tow.
Can't have you climbing back down again. You might fall. I'll just get you a quick snack. Father won't mind. And then it's off you go.
You are being carried. The rest of you from outside, you see Monet disappear through a window.
Oh, this is great.
Monet, you are led down the stairs before she turns to the left down that hallway that you could barely make out before. And as you go through, there's two hallways going on either side, and she takes an immediate veer to the right. And as she leads you that way, you can see behind you the rest of the hallway going the opposite direction, which seems to very shortly just go to its left, and then it looks like there is a rather ominous-looking archway that leads downstairs. Hmm. And there is, while there's lighting throughout the hall, there is no lighting on that door, and it seems dark and menacing.
Hmm.
She leads you down the hall, cradling you as she goes, and she's kind of like, fawning over you and petting
Monet makes
you as
biscuits.
She goes,
well, biscuit.
Just the one biscuit. The other one just thunks lightly.
Yeah.
She leads you into the kitchen and she sets you on a counter before opening up the larder.
I think we have some somewhere, maybe.
And she's kind of rummaging around. She has to stretch a little bit and almost drops a few things before she produces a small bottle of what appears to be chilled milk and a dried fish. And she puts a small saucer on the counter next to you, pours out a little bit of milk, and then offers the fish.
Yeah, Monet will eat it.
And as you do, she kind of like rests her little head on her hands, resting her elbows on the counter, just staring at you. And she seems like in this kind of trance of like childlike wonder, just like watching you be. It's like, well, let's do a sense motive.
Okay.
What's your modifier
for perception? Perception, +9.
You have the feeling that she doesn't see many living things. Hmm. Like this is new-ish for her, exciting to see something moving around.
Father never let me have any animals. Said that he was all the company I'd need. I wish you could stay. It's ever so lonely.
Monet will stop eating, and she'll sit down and stare at the girl. And she'll nod.
It's almost like you understood me for a moment.
She'll nod again.
You can understand me.
And again.
Are you magic?
She'll nod again.
Father does magic. Lots of magic. Will you be my friend? Oh, but you can't stay. I want you to stay, but you can't. Father will get so angry, ever so angry.
What's around in the kitchen?
Not a whole lot. Rather plain. There's not even really anywhere to sit and eat. It seems very bare bones, very Spartan. There's just the larder, an area for preparation, and then like a small area for cookware, it seems like.
Is there like a large pot?
Yeah, I think so. Hanging up behind her along the wall, there's a rack with several cooking implements.
Is there a shelf below those, maybe? Is there something that Monet can hide behind?
Not really. Well,
like a curtain or...
Like in cat form?
In cat form.
You could probably slink behind the cookware shelf. It's more like a rack with a bunch of hanging pots. So while you might not be like completely concealed, you'd be obscured for sure.
Really, this is just for Monet trying to communicate with the child as a cat.
Okay.
Lay
it on me.
So Monet would like to stand up, lift a paw like this, like, hold on. And then she's going to turn around and look for something to like hide behind.
Okay.
Go away behind. So she will turn, see like one of those pots or whatever. Or is there a window in here?
There is.
Yeah, so Monet will meow at her. Like turn, look at the window, meow at her, and just give her like another nod. She'll hop into the window and kind of like walk out onto the ledge and then peek back in and then come back in. Basically saying like she can leave and she can come back.
I'll take nature.
Okay.
I think we'll go on that and see if you can cat gesture well enough to get the point across.
A 12.
Okay. We're not talking crazy hard DCs here.
So you can hide. You'll have to be better than before. I found you in the window. But, well, I want a friend. I really do. Father says that people won't like me. That they won't understand. Father says that people are scary. And that it's dangerous out there. But maybe it'll just be our little secret.
Monet will...
You can keep a secret.
In confusion.
Can't you?
Monet will nod.
My name's Savrim. What's your name? I'm gonna call you... I'll call you... Tintin. Because of your glove. Do you like it?
Monet will nod.
Oh, I'm so happy, Tintin. I can feel like we're going to be the best of friends. I know it. But you have to go.
Monet will nod.
Bye. I'll see you later, Tintin.
Picks up a paw and waves it. Monet will go into the... Go to the window. and look down. And just kind of like meow.
You can hear, from somewhere far off in the tower.
Savrin! Who are you talking to?
You have to go. Bye, friend. I'll see you soon.
Savrin!
Yeah, Monet will.
Coming, father!
Does she see Rumor?
You're on the back part of the tower now.
Okay.
You're only 10 feet up.
I'm only 10 feet up?
Yeah.
She'll just
probably
jump.
A little less. Probably like 8.
Yeah, she'll just jump.
She, when you back down the stairs, first floor, you're only up as high as the 4 or 5 steps or whatever. Plus a little height for the window.
Yeah, she'll just jump down.
You do okay. The cat thing, run down the wall.
She got, and she has cat fall.
Trip on the metal arm, face first into the ground. 20 points of damage.
I don't have it here.
No, you're okay. It's everything over 5. You take half, but you treat catfall as if it's 10 less. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, you just nimbly slam face first into the ground. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. No, you get down. No problem. Do you want to walk back around the tower?
Yeah.
Okay. So, the rest of you, you see her disappear for a minute. And then, after a few moments of being left worried, afraid, angry, confused, a little full, you see her come around the corner.
Cat! Monet! What's happening? Are you a witch? I don't speak cat!
Monet will turn back into a Kyle. Sorry.
Bloody boiling.
That was pretty cool. What did you see in there?
I met a little girl.
Oh.
Her dad doesn't seem very nice.
The ghost?
She's not a ghost. She was holding me. She gave me fish and milk. I didn't drink any of the milk. But I did have some fish. That was nice. Her dad sounded angry, though. She was saying that, she said some things. She said her name. Savrin? She named me Tintin.
Savrim. R-A-M.
Savrim.
Savrim.
And her dad's not nice.
I didn't meet him, but she said that she wants a friend... But that father says people won't like her or understand. And that I couldn't be there. And that her father does magic. She seems surprised to see me, I guess. I did turn into a cat, so most people would probably be surprised to see me as a cat.
Yeah. I'm I mean, that sucks for her and all, but we've got bigger problems. I don't know how this is relevant.
I know, I just wonder what the hell she has to do with this whole...
Yeah, I know there's something, obviously, but, like, on surface level, it's like...
I think too far in, I skip beats.
Yeah, it is important to also remember that while things are normally presented to you, like, in a game sense, then it's like, this is a thing and pertinent. It's also important to remember that this is a world, and there mm-hmm. exist things, whether or not they're...
No, but as a person playing in the world, this is our one chance to find out.
Father, it's our one chance.
What it is? It's like
unlock all the quests.
Who knows? Maybe some other playthrough, we pass by this town and find out what the girl in the tower is about.
Dude,
but
that's the beauty.
That's impossible. That's
beauty of Pathfinder, baby. It's just like this game is what you make of it.
She seemed sad that I had to go.
Scarab wonders what does the tower provide to this town. He's assuming that the mansion on the outskirts has made this town, every little bit of it, worth something.
Mm-hmm.
They can only imagine. Like, what's the wizard bring to the mansion? And I guess I don't know.
Is it an old lighthouse?
No, it doesn't seem like it. It seems like the top, and it's not like rigged up to be a lighthouse. It caps off in a crooked old roof that's surrounded by gargoyle statues.
It's like literally the opposite end of the town. Is he just the oldest squatter? Are they just waiting for that dude to die? Like, what's the deal?
You're not really sure. You guys, even Scarab, as much as you've been here, you only know the rumors. He doesn't interact with people. He keeps to himself. And, I mean, even the manor itself, like, that was the home to whoever the ruling member of the founding families was, but even they acted
not even
as like
by the creeds.
No, they even acted as like a pseudo council once upon a time until one of them lost their lives during the Goblin Blood War.
See,
and then
that's the thing. I think we got to bring the council back.
Another of them had been killed in a riot before the Hag Rebellion, and so they've just kind of died off, and now the only ones in the manor are the creeds.
I wonder if he knows anything about the hags.
This little girl is a hag.
You think so?
Yes.
Daughter of a hag?
Yeah, daughter of a hag or a hag. She just doesn't know it. She doesn't understand.
Yeah, like how old
she
is she? How long has she been this age? Type beat.
Yeah,
I don't know.
She was like 8, is what Cody said.
8 or 9, yeah.
And
real
I don't
young.
Remember if you said any things about how long she's been
a
little
this
girl.
This building doesn't match the rest of the town. It's been here longer than the town.
Yeah, this is clearly... I don't know. For me, Matthew, it's definitely intriguing. I don't know if it would touch Scarab, but like, as far as the whole Hag Wars things go, I feel like this weirdo might have the info.
And that was also the tragic thing about that whole ordeal. So there was the whole point with Ulysmila, which you guys bumped into the remnants of like her rotted cottage in the woods, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ulysmila at one point had waged war against the town, and that was the Hag Wars, or it might have been called something else, forgive me.
And then did they do it from the outside?
They ultimately...
We're assuming?
So there was a whole slew of bad things that happened that came from that. There were, apparently the Hags introduced, like, something known as, like, the Attic Wanderer that basically would creep into people's homes and steal their children.
Ew.
Real bad.
Attic Wanderer. Ew.
And,
yuck.
They were losing the battle because the battle against magic is not your standard, let's stand and fight the evil. It's, this shit comes from the shadows and wisps you away and you don't even know they're gone until it's too late.
Yeah.
And so ultimately, the town, realizing that they faced potential destruction by losing their youth, sought peace with Ulysmila, and the only way they were able to barter peace, and Scarab, you know this, we talked about this briefly, is that one of the founding families offered their son to marry a daughter of Ulysmila. And it is from this marriage that gave the town peace that the town began to fester with horrible rumors that that entire family had become horrid fae folk or hag people, and this led to the Hag Rebellion, which caused the town to kill one of the founding families. So two of the three families.
As far as we know, hags, we don't know if they're, we don't have a sheet with their faces crossed off.
No, we don't. As far as you know, Uli's Mila is still alive, although not in her hut any longer.
Nah, it's super obvious. Creeds are hags. This little girl's a hag. She doesn't know it. You know.
But this, the Uli's Mila, is it them or is it the other hags? Like, are...
So Uli's Mila was the hag. She had innumerable daughters.
And that's the thing.
And so
like,
they themselves were hags.
Are all the daughters gone? Are they the remnants? Did they want to just defect from their mother? Is, like, what is this town?
Yeah, it's a town that's not had an easy time. Again, like, even though the Creeds are in control, the Creeds, you know, are...
Clearly
your understanding is real
trusted.
Bad.
Yeah.
But remember that there were three founding families, one of which ended up marrying to the hags and then burned for being a hag. The second one, Goblin Blood War, that happened, that affected a lot of places. That person got shot in the back by a hobgoblin. Although, and I mentioned this before and you'll remember, somebody said that the bolt that had pierced the back of the last surviving member of that family looked suspiciously like a bolt of the Creed family, as if they saw a moment to take power and seized it, because they went from three to two families, and then from two to one.
Which, of course, and as I feel, sorry, bros, you got caught. You got caught!
I love hearing this, though.
Damn, it's just crazy. I love witches, and the idea that, like, this could all still be underhand by witches, and we, like, the hell do we know? One way or the other. It's not like every person we talk to is touched by witch magic.
No, they just all
necessarily.
Have, they just all have the tickles. Mm-hmm. Or is it the twinkles? Sorry.
Yeah. Twinkles.
Yeah. I almost forgot my
Have we, has that seemed about the same?
Oh yeah, you still, even earlier when you were going out gathering rumors, you still heard people maybe speculating that Shavros had placed a curse on the town causing the twinkles.
Yeah, does it feel like people are more sick?
It's like,
like more people are sick, or does it feel like it's dying down?
No, it seems about the same.
Yeah, Monet, I think we need to...
And that too, you haven't,
tying that in, I feel like that's more reason to be like, okay, maybe Shavros Tower is a way to go.
You also haven't been back to, Jack and Apes to talk to, oh my gosh, what's her name?
See how the cure works.
Laurel Gabri. To see, you know, she was the one who asked you guys for the mushrooms, for the cure, for something that's affecting people. Then you guys named that thing the twinkles.
Yeah.
But yeah, the town has had mysterious illnesses, and it seems like not only are the symptoms unlinked to specific diseases, you know, normally it'd be like, oh, well, you have, you know, oh, you've got the chills, you've got aches, you've got a fever. It's like, oh, you've got this. And in this one, it's like, well, you've got this and this, but you don't have this, and you have this and this, but you don't have that. And so people have been showing up with strange symptoms, and they have not been able to treat any disease per se, only the symptoms, and that hasn't gotten much better. Granted, it's only been what, 2 days since you talked, so it's not like, you know, it's not like everybody's out of commission or anything like that. Still the same amount of,
see, I totally forgot that, but if you would allow, yeah, if I guess Scarab would have been the only one that heard that about Shavros Tower and them rumoring that to be the connection up the twinkles. Mm-hmm.
It is also funny to think about the idea that, like, you know, people were talking about people getting sick. The only thing that spiked up more is the reference twinkles. People are now, everybody's calling it the twinkles.
Yeah, but regardless, this thing is still about.
Yeah.
It wasn't just a passing thing a few days ago. It's still here the week that we've been here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People just being like, did you hear the Chandler's daughter got the twinkles?
It's been a long ass week. Damn, to think a sickness would start on a Monday and still be here by Saturday. It's crazy. But no, because I totally forgot, but now that totally rings a bell. Monet coming back, Scarab would bring up that people have blamed the sickness on him, but there's no evidence one way or the other.
No, not that you know of.
They're just throwing the name out and the fact that it's his tower, and he's like, yeah, that it is kind of weird. And Scarab, in these recent talks, would be like, what does his tower bring to this town? Yeah. What the hell is going on?
It's really hard to know when, you know, separating fact from fiction. All you really know is that there's a man with his daughter who live in a tower and they don't come out. So how true
yeah, I
wonder, are rumors of what people will make of that? You know, oh, he's cursing the town, or oh, he, you know, slept with a corpse, or his daughter's a ghost that he murdered long ago, you know?
It seems weird that the creeds, and that's the only reason this is super weird, is that the creeds, being who they are and who they've shown themselves to be in the small amount of time, why are they allowing him to stay here?
Yeah. Well, you know, you never know. If it could be he pays a tithe to them, it could be that maybe they don't want to deal with a magic man.
You've heard that
he's of an arcane inclination means that maybe he's more powerful than the creeds want to deal with. Mm. Especially for a man that wants to keep to himself, it seems that sometimes maybe it's just better enough to leave well enough alone.
Perhaps he's tied to his daughter, and his daughter is the reason for the sickness, and he has no choice one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
I was laughing 10 minutes ago just because... Just sounds like me in my house, and a group of adventurers comes to my house. What's your deal? You never come outside. It's weird.
It's basically what happened.
Just let me live my life.
You just lived that right now.
When I moved here, it was much smaller. Things were simpler. You were in my way.
Looking up now, actually next to the door, there's a little sign that says, no solicitation, don't make it weird.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Now all these kids with motorcycles drive up and down the road, fucking.
Yeah,
super. Damn kids race their horses on my street.
You want to have a conversation within 10 blocks? Fuck you.
Yeah, Scarab is 100% on board to go back there.
Yeah, Monet wants to also, because she wants to help the little girl.
Does Monet feel one way or the other? With all of this info, because Scarab's not afraid to say everything that he knows, so whatever he heard before, you guys know now. And he does think, with what you guys have said, assuming your characters said that, there's a big chance that her blood is tied into all of this. And that's interesting as hell.
I don't know that Monet would have any thoughts on that. I do think that she would think a powerful, potentially wizard, would be of use
for
us.
Damn sure. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's definitely... Scarab is looking at the map of this place, and he's just looking at points of power. Mm-hmm. And if any of these want to take hold and just be a strong point of power against this one guy that's outside of the walls, then yes. And this tower... could be a great point of power.
Yeah.
I'm just curious if he's a bad guy or not. I ain't trying to work for no absolute sleazes. Homeboys at the gambling ring, they're just getting paid. They're going to do what they... As long as they're getting paid, they're doing, like, good or bad, whatever. But you can pay them for good, and they're going to do good. Now, Tower Man, we don't know what his deal is.
Spooky!
Yeah, I'm way into figuring that out.
I'm interested.
Yeah.
So what are we doing?
Okay, we should continue to the lumberyard.
Sounds good.
But definitely want to keep... Okay. I'm just curious if, like, going back up there as a cat is the way to go, or if there's some way to get in there.
Well, I mean,
as ourselves.
Monet being a cat would be a way to get in there. She won't be able to do it again today.
Yeah, no, for sure. I figured this is
get in the first window.
This is like an
unlock the front door.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Get in the first window, go inside, turn into Monet, and open the door.
Let me just jump this guy.
We just fucking break in. just break the hell in.
Just tackle him, tie him up.
Monet goes in there, calling the girl's name. Savarim! It's Tintin!
It's Tintin.
Dink, dink, dink!
Yeah, it's either that or just hang out until he eventually has to come out.
Was she scared of her dad? Or she was scared of us to her dad.
She was scared for her dad to find
Monet. She was scared for us. For you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's all the time we have for this week.
What am I? No! Kick me out again!
The Cursed Caravan uses trademarks and/or copyrights owned by Paizo Inc. used under Paizo's community use policy, paizo.com/community use. We are expressly prohibited from charging you to use or access this content. The Cursed Caravan is not published, endorsed, or specifically approved by Paizo. For more information about Paizo Inc. and Paizo products, visit paizo.com. The Cursed Caravan theme music and beat you're hearing now is written by Matt. Our Matt. This Matt. We would like to thank Michael Gelfi Studios, the world reference for tabletop RPG audio, for the music and ambiance that we use in pretty much all of our episodes. You can find out more about Michael Gelfi at michaelgelfi.com. Check out their Patreon and YouTube links in the description. Leave us a comment and rate us 5 stars on your podcast app of choice, especially Apple Podcasts. Spotify allows you to leave and rate comments as well. And on YouTube, give us a like, subscribe, and comment on YouTube. Amon?
On YouTube, we got a comment on our Baldur's Gate playthrough by Nurse Ratchet.
Hey, Ratchet.
They said, I like how you brought back this group.
Hell, the orcs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, that was
probably
so good.
Talking about the Call of the Expanse group that we played as.
Yeah, fun campaign, fun characters. Glad we got to use them again.
Pretty good group of orcs.
Maybe, heavy maybe, we'll get to see them again at some point.
Mm-hmm. Big heavy maybe. Hope he can hold it.
Yeah, I'd like to continue playing this game.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Thank you for watching.
And thank you for leaving comments. They make Emad happy. And that's all we aim to do is make... That's all Cody and Matt aim to do is make Emad happy.
That's really the reason we started this whole show. Just to make Emad happy.
And now he's crying.
It's nice eyebrows. If they go any higher, they're going to hide under his hat.
That is what I claim.
You claim that we claim,
no,
but
that you don't claim. That is all that I aim to do, is make Emad cry. So it works out for all of us.
Oh, that's evil.
So get on the comments and let us know what you think so Emad can be happy and cry and the rest of us can be happy and maybe cry.
Oh, and legitimately, go check out the YouTube. Emad's been putting those videos together. Emad edits for us, okay? I want you to feel bad. I want you to pay him. Send your money to mod.com.
When do you watch something or listen to something you enjoy and then you just feel bad about it?
All the time.
Why?
All the time. I'm a millennial. That's why. I'm a millennial. So anything I watch and I try to gain any enjoyment from, I feel like I'm wasting my time and I should be doing something better in a world where that's impossible.
I experience constant white guilt even when it's not about race.
I'm doing my best not
to be. Sorry, I'm alive. I didn't ask for this.
I'm trying not to be white anymore, but it's not working.
I just burn.
But no, 100% leaving comments is awesome. And what Nurse Ratchet, you're awesome too, even though your character is horrible and evil in that movie, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. We appreciate you commenting, and we hope that you're on our side.
Also, if you have any questions, feel free to email us.
Bye. And cut.
If you have any questions, feel free to
email.
Feel free to email. Please, that's rude. All right, his name's Easy.
Also, if you have any questions, feel free to email us at thecursedcaravan@gmail.com. We will answer any of those questions or comments or whatever. If you decide to email us on the podcast, we will say the things that you said at us on it. So get on those comments and let us know what you think. All of our contact information is in the description. You have no excuse. Thank you for being a traveler on the Cursed Caravan.
Go watch our YouTube never-ending content. Thank you, Felicia, for saying that amazingly. Thank you, Cody, for running the game. And thank you, Emad, for editing the game. We'll see you later.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye bye.
First try.
I rolled a 4.
I mean, a climb is a DC 10, right? I have to look this up every fucking time because I'm a bad DM. I also just spelled climb with an E because I'm a fucking idiot who's been drinking.
Climb.
Cleam. Yeah, no B. It was just C-L-I-M-E. Climb.